I want to share with you a thought. Now, I have shared this thought with you in years gone by, and I don't have a real fancy title for it, but I'm going to use the same title I used years ago, and it's called the Pre-Ladies Conference Sermon. The Pre-Ladies Conference Sermon. Some of you have heard it, some of you have never heard it, but it's important that we understand that this meeting that we're beginning on Thursday is God-ordained, and it's something that God has put in my wife's heart. I connected with her vision, and I have let her run with that vision, and God is using her mightily. And this is my last chance to preach for a while, because I won't be ministering during the conference. In fact, the person that's speaking on the first night of the conference will be, this person is an international conference speaker. She's written two books. She's very well known around the world. And Darlene will be speaking on Friday night, or Thursday night of the ladies' conference. And Friday night. Okay, and we've got a lot of guests coming in, so let me get right into this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You guys listen fast, I'll talk fast, and we believe Blake will keep up with us fast today. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12. The reason I do this is because there's going to be a lot of people coming in, and we're going to learn to be like Chick-fil-A people, my pleasure, right? It's my pleasure. When somebody looks at you the wrong way, and you know there's going to be some people come in, not you, but there's going to be people come in that may not have the same patience, the same love, mercy that we have at Solid Rock. And they may go back to the coffee shop and want to know where my drink is. I ordered it 20 minutes ago. But we're just going to keep that my pleasure attitude and keep that, not let their negativism come off on us. We're going to stay right before the Lord the whole week. Amen? And so the scripture says, as the body is one. Can you say one? But the body has many members. All the members of that one body, being many, are one body, and so also is Christ. That is not a confusing message. That is not confusing at all. It's simply saying that there's one body. It's called the body of Christ. There's one church. It's called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if you go to Rocky Goods Church. I don't care if you go to Rick Hensley's church. If you go to any of the other churches in town, to the bridge or whatever, there's only one church. And the body of Christ is one. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And you guess what? We're all related through the blood of Jesus. So we got to stop the discrimination. We've got to stop the putting up of walls, because we're all related. Let me tell you what the Message Bible says. Look no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, and cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you are still one body. So even though there's one body of Christ, how many knows there are many local bodies? Solid Rock is what we call a local body. We're a local group of people. Rocky Good, The Bridge, Free Will Baptist, Rick Hensley, all the other churches around. That is a local body, a fellowship of believers. They come together. They have communion. They're in communion with one another. And there's within that body, there's also many other individual bodies. How many knows within the local body of Solid Rock, we got many individual bodies here today? Amen. And how many knows it's important that in order for our body to function, everything has to work together and in harmony. Amen. Now, don't look at me like that this morning. I'm not going to beat anybody, but I am going to give you some instructions on how we should be acting this next week. It's important that our body work in harmony. It's important that when somebody that's in charge of something tells somebody else over here something, that we don't get in a big fight, because there's going to be a lot of stuff going on, but we're going to stay in unity and harmony. How many knows when my lungs don't function right, my body's not going to be in harmony? Can I hear an amen? When your liver's not functioning right, if it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, it's going to mess up the body. And so we are a local body filled with a lot of individual bodies. And so I'm glad that Paul compared the body of Christ to the human body. We have many parts. How many parts do you have? Anybody want to? I know we got a couple of doctors here this morning, but I don't know if anybody knows how many parts are in the Bible. Are in the body, I'm sorry. How many parts are in the body? We got all of our external parts. We can see all that. But how many knows those internal parts? There's some that you can't even call them by name, right? the internal parts. And so I've never seen some of my internal parts, and I prefer to keep it that way. I'm just glad they're all working in harmony and working together. And I'll give you an illustration. I've given you this illustration before. But if you get up in the middle of the night to go downstairs and get a drink of water, and you stub your big toe on the coffee table or the end table or the wall, how many knows everything in your body rushes down to that big toe? You grab that big, I'm talking about stumping your toe to where it bleeds. And you grab that big toe and you squeeze it, and you might say things you don't want the preacher to hear you say, but everything focuses on that injured part. It's amazing how our body automatically, the hand goes down, the heart starts beating, the blood starts flowing, and you reach down and you grab that big toe. And how many knows that big toe gets a lot of attention? Yeah, it's a little toe, but it's a big problem, and it gets a lot of attention. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're there, but I want to drop down to verses 14 and read this now. The body is not made up, verse 14, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. Just because I say doesn't mean I'm not a part of the body. You understand? If the foot would say, well, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, or I'm not a, that doesn't make any difference. It says it would not for that reason stop being that part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of that body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You know, if everybody were an eyeball, can you imagine what I'd have to stand up here and look at this morning as you come rolling down the aisle and rolling into your seats, and all we have are eyeballs? Thank God there are many varied parts to our body. Amen. We need more than one part. I need my hands. I need my arms. I need my legs. I need my feet. Have you ever tried to hold a hammer with, if you ever seen anybody without a thumb try to hold a hammer? It's impossible. I mean, I'm sure somebody's probably figured it out by now. But listen, when one part of your body is missing, it affects the rest of the body. I hope you're getting what I'm wanting to get across today. We need more than one part. Hello? Amen. Now look at chapter 12, verse 18. Let's drop down to the next verse. But God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Who set the members in the body? God set the members in the body. Now, he's not talking about your physical body now. He's talking about in the body of Christ. How many here are a member of the body of Christ? If you've received Jesus as your Lord, you are a member of the body of Christ. I'm trying to talk fast because I want to make sure we get all this today. But there's an epidemic in the body of Christ today where people don't know where they're supposed to be. There's some people don't even know which local body they're supposed to be in. Some of the people in the local body don't know what their function is in the local body, and it brings a lot of confusion. But the Bible says God has set them in the body as it has pleased Him. If God set you as a finger, don't try to be a toe. If God set you in as a thumb, don't try to be an ear. Be what God called you to be, and do what God called you to be. Because if you're not functioning in the body, then you're useless. We all have to function, and I'm glad my hands function, but there's this epidemic, and people are bouncing around from church to church. They never settle down. They say, well, God told me to go to this church, and you're there for 3 weeks, and then you don't like the pastor's wife, so you go to another church God sent you to, and you're there, and you don't like the music there after a month, and so then you go to another church. Listen, God is not nearly as confused as we are. God gets a lot of blame because we're not listening to God. God will set the members in the body as it has pleased Him. Amen. Amen. God's not changing His mind as often as everybody thinks He is. Now, if you would place yourself in the body any place you wanted to, things wouldn't go well for you because that's not where God placed you. Like I said, I don't care if you're an ear and you want to be a nose, you can put ear makeup, or you can put nose makeup on your ear, but I'm telling you what, it's not going to help you smell any better. Can I hear an amen? You, if God set you in here as a little finger, be a little finger and do it with great joy. Serve with an attitude of joy that God set you here as a servant in the house of the Lord. Amen. So if you're an ear, you'll never make a decent nose. Amen. If you're a finger, you'll never make a decent toe. I've never seen at a wedding where somebody takes their shoes off and puts the ring on the third toe. All right, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time trying to be a toe when God says, I want you to be a nose. If you know, you think, well, if I hang around toe people, then I can maybe I'll be a toe. That's not the way it works. God's not going to change his mind just because you don't want to be a toe and have toe friends. Amen? So it's important that we find our place in the body. Now, I'm talking about in the local church. I'm talking about in our ministry in the local church. We all have a place. We all have a place that we can plug into. And it says, God hath set the members, every one of them, shout out everyone, every one of them as it has pleased him. And when God places a member in the body, he expects it to function. In other words, God set you here because you're unique. God sets you in that position because you're special. God puts you in that for a specific person. And nobody else can take that place because God anointed you to do that thing. Amen. Ephesians, I like this. Ephesians 4:16. You probably don't have this one back there, but I just added this. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. How many knows my kidney cannot be a lung? Hello? Oh, I could take a pig trail there, but I won't. Okay. Stay in control, Daryl. It helps the other parts to grow. Let me say it again. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work, and that helps to make the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's the NLT, Ephesians 4:16. And it helps the whole body. How do we get solid rock to be a whole, healthy body? I've heard people say, well, how big is your church, Pastor? How many hundreds are you running at your church? And I'd say, you know what? I'm not concerned about the numbers, but I thank God we have a healthy church. Amen. I'd rather have a healthy church than to have a big, big church and no health. Yep. Somebody shout amen. Amen. So let me just say it like this. Are you still with me? Yep. Every person has a function. Everybody say function. Now the body works better when the lungs function, when the kidneys function. Everything works better when the legs function. Everything in the body has a function. Are you in the body? Then we have a function. Can't get around it, can we? Have you ever heard parents tell their children, Max, you can just be anything you want to be when you grow up? Do you know that? That is really leading them down the wrong path. It's leading them to follow their passion instead of seeking God for his will for their lives. And sometimes we lie to them because no matter how they try, they'll never be a Michael Jackson. Hello? No matter how hard they try, they'll never be a famous musician or singer unless God gives them that grace gift. Somebody shout amen. God, you can believe that you're going to be a Michael Jackson, but you're not going to be there just because you believe it. God gives us the gifts according to his grace. God knows what I'm graced for, and God knows I could never do what I do without his grace. I'm the first one to admit I cannot do what I do without the grace of God. And we need to recognize the grace upon our lives. And God has graced you, and you just haven't discovered what God has foreordained you to be and to do. Amen. There's a lot of unhappy people in the world today. They're chasing after dreams that they will never, never get because that wasn't God's ordained plan for them. God, that's not what God graced them to do. And how many knows, when you're out of your place, there will be no grace? Can I say it again? In fact, let me add a little bit to it this time. When people are out of their place, there's no grace, and they'll fall on their face. And then they'll lose the race. Then they'll become a disgrace. And they're going to fall and need a brace. Because they're going to break like a vase. How do you like that? Wisdom from on high. how is it that birds know how to fly when they leave, hummingbirds leave Wisconsin and go all the way to South America? How is it that the geese know to fly? They come over my house. I think they have a direct path right over my house. And they fly. They just fly and honk, and they land on our little lake once in a while and make a mess, and then they get up and all take off again. But they know where they're going. There's something inside of them that knows where they're going. There's something over there calling them. A hummingbird. I mean, I don't even know if you can see the brain of a hummingbird without a microscope. I don't even know if they have a brain. I don't know. But I know one thing. There's something in them without a GPS, without Google Maps, without an iPhone or a smartphone, without any kind of a compass. They can find their way from northern United States all the way back to the very same place they were at last year in South America. How has that happened? Because God has put in them something that pulls them to that place. You know why I have to be at church? I feel God pulling me. I want to be here. It's not a struggle for me to come to church. It might be a struggle to get up every morning at 6 a.m. and come here and pray, but I want to tell you something. Once I got here, it was awesome, wasn't it, guys? It was just a wonderful prayer meeting this last week. But I'm telling you what, what about these wildebeest? Now, I've been to Kenya several times, and these wildebeest, we were there one year when they were migrating. And if you've watched any National Geographic shows or watched any of the shows where they migrate, there's a certain season that these wildebeest will migrate. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands and even hundreds of thousands of wildebeest all running across the plains of the desert of Africa. And they get to the river and they cross this river and they know where to go. They know right where to go where the season is right for that time of their life. I mean, they stir up a dust storm. You better make sure your windows are rolled up when they come through. It is amazing to watch. I've got some of it on video. But I'm telling you, church, listen, they know where to go. Something inside of them. I think some animals might be smarter than some of us. At least we need to stop and listen and say, God, where do you want me to go? God, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you more effectively, Lord? Is this okay today? I got 10 minutes. Okay, and so, you know, it blows my mind. What makes a salmon with a pinhead brain swim upstream? I mean, they'll even swim up a waterfall. Did you know that? A salmon can swim up. Can you ever try swimming up a waterfall? Salmon will swim up a waterfall because there's something inside of them pulling them up into that area. Good preaching, Pastor Rhodes. Something there is calling them to something that's in them. And so they have this inclination, I got to go, I got to go, I got to go, I got to go. Amen. So they go against all obstacles. They go. They'll cross rivers and streams and make it to the exact same place. And if God can do that to the animals, why is it that we can't understand that they who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God? If we can be led by the Spirit of God, if we just do a little self-examination, God, why am I at Solid Rock? Why do you have me here? What's my purpose? Can I tell you it's more than just to sit on a bench and shout hallelujah, praise the Lord, and sing some songs? Did I lose you? Why am I here? What is my place at Solid Rock? Come on, let's go to Ephesians. I'm going to rush this. Ephesians 4:7. Talking like a madman this morning. Ephesians 4:7. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Say, I have grace in me. God gives you the grace to do what you do. Outside of this pulpit, I'm not a different person, but I'm not as comfortable at preaching as I am when I'm in the pulpit. And I love what God's called me to do. I recognize God's calling on my life. When I go overseas, and we're leaving in less than a month to go back to Tanzania and Kenya, less than a month, mind you, and we're not even through ladies' conference. But when we get over there and we start ministering to those people, there's an anointing because I know I'm in the grace of God. When you stay in the grace, you'll find that place is comfortable. Romans 12, 3 and 6. For by the grace, the unmerited favor of God, I'm reading from the Amplified, given to me, I warn every one among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought. None of us, because God's, everything we've got is by the grace of God. Amen. Let that sink in. That's why I can't think of myself more highly than I should, because I know who I am without the grace of God. Are you listening? Okay? Do not have an exaggerated opinion of your own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. For as in one physical body we have many parts, organs, and members, and all these parts do not have the same function, so we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, and individually we are parts of one another, mutually dependent upon one another. Man, that deserves a louder amen than that. Amen. You're discouraging me this morning, folks. I need a good amen. I need somebody that's listening today. Because we have found our grace and we found our place and we are functioning in our place, the Bible says here we are parts of one another, mutually dependent upon one another, having gifts, faculties, talents, and qualities that differ according to the grace given us. Let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith. God has given us the grace as a gift, but he also wants us to use our faith to exercise it. That was a good statement, Dr. Sue. Let me say that again. God has given his grace to us, but we have to use our faith to let it function in our lives. Amen. Amen. Nothing happens just automatically. Amen? Okay. So every one of us, say this with me. I have the grace in me.
I have the grace in me.
You know what? If you're a finger, you got finger grace. Right? If you're an ear, you got ear grace. If you're a toe, you got ear grease. I mean, grace, yes. You are grace to do what God... How do I know, Pastor, what I'm supposed to be doing? How do I know what it is that I'm supposed to be doing? Well, let me tell you something. If it's something that you hate to do, you're probably not grace to do it. Huh? If you don't like changing dirty diapers in the nursery, and you don't love babies, and you don't want to go back and minister the Word of God to these children, you're probably not graced to work in the nursery. Now, you might be a helper, but you can't be a leader back there, because you've got to be called of God to be a nursery worker. Amen. You say, Pastor, you're awful strict here at Solid Rock. We believe that God has a plan, and we need to follow that plan, and we want God's best for every one of our ministries. If you're an usher, you got to be graced to be an usher. Because first time Carl, the head usher, tells you, I don't want you to do it that way, I want you to do this. If you're not graced, you'll get offended and quit the church because Carl said something to you. And that's happened so many times over the years. We've seen people, you know, get maybe a little instruction come from one of the leaders and they get offended. Well, listen, if you're walking in the grace of God, you just say, okay, I'll fix that. Thank you. Say it again. I'm graced to be what I am. Verse 7 says, he whose gift is practical service, let him give himself serving. If your gift is teaching, give yourself to teaching. Listen, there is more to the grace gifts than just being spiritual. You think, well, if I'm not preaching or playing an instrument, or if I'm not teaching a class, or if I'm not involved in some type of ministry, then you know that's not spiritual. Then that's not of God. That's not true. He said, if your grace gift is helping, everybody say helping. Helping one another, that is a grace gift. And God help us to walk in that grace gift. No, you may not be in the spotlight, but you're in God's spotlight. Amen. You may not get a lot of notoriety, but God's keeping notes in heaven. I feel like I'm screaming at you this morning. No, I'm not. I'm not screaming. So there's practical, notice it said practical services. And most practical services could be helping people find a seat during the ladies' conference. Practical services could be driving the golf cart all over the place out here, bringing people in. That's a practical service. I don't think you have to be too spiritual to do that. Practical service, maybe helping people get through the food line back to the gym so that we can get them seated properly. It may be something else. It may be picking up the trash on the floor after every service. Amen. How many sheep are dirty? I said sheep are dirty, and sometimes they don't care what they leave behind. So we've got people graced that just can't wait to do. They just can't wait to pick up a piece of paper. Amen. Practical services. Amen. There are those spiritual giftings, but there's also the practical grace gifts as well. Amen. These guys out here are going to be parking cars Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. They're going to be out here parking cars. They're calling for rain Saturday. How many will agree with me that rain will just hold off a couple more days? And we don't need that mess. But if we could just, you know, these parking lot attendants, they're going to be waving somebody in. No, I don't want to park there. Come on, let's go over here. No, I don't want to park there. What are you going to say? Dwayne says, park there anyway.
You're fired.
You need to be on the parking lot, Dwayne. Or you could say what Chick-fil-A says. It's my pleasure to serve. My pleasure to serve. And I don't know if we have enough parking lot people or not, but I hope that if we don't, that when they make a plea for help, that you'll be here. Amen. We need lots of help around here. Okay, so let's go on. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Let me hurry. For by the grace of God, I am what I am. Oh, yes, amen. And by his grace to me was not without effect. In other words, it's effective. No, I work harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that is in me. You know what causes these people? Yesterday, there was a ton of people around here working. You know what it was? The grace of God in them. It wasn't because they weren't tired. It wasn't because they didn't have anything else to do. It wasn't because they didn't maybe have some personal priorities that they felt like they wanted. They laid it all aside because they felt the grace to serve and help. And there was people moving everything. This afternoon, as soon as church is out, as soon as the meeting's over with, we're going to be moving out all the leather furniture. We're going to be adding another, how many hundred seats? How many more? A lot more seats, yeah. We got to bring the seats in from the back, and it's going to be a lot of hands on deck this afternoon. But that's what we're talking about. It's my pleasure to serve my church. If you're back in Romans 12, if your gift is exhorting or encouraging, then encourage. If your gift is contributing, then give with simplicity and liberality. If your gift is in aiding or superintending, then do it with zeal. Now, how many knows Christy Hale is the official superintendent, right? She does it with what? Zeal. She does it with all, you don't have to wonder who the superintendent is. But it also says, do it with cheerfulness and joyful eagerness.
She needs to work on that.
Who does?
Christy Hale.
Do you know there are some people that are graced to encourage? Who was it yesterday? Was it Carissa or Sarah when they were speaking? And Christy was down here just, come on, that's good. Oh, that's so good. Come on, say it again. And they stopped and said, Christy, thank you for your encouragement. I'm going to tell you, there is a gift of encouragement. There's a ministry of encouragement, just encouraging people. Amen. They're graced. I mean, you know, some people are graced to make money. Some are graced. Some people can make more money accidentally than some can on purpose. And God has graced people to make money. You know why? Because we have to fund orphanages and missions projects. We have to build churches. We've got to keep the church going. We've got to bless other ministries. We've got to help the homeless. Folks, there's just so much to do. And if everybody's poor, we're not going to get it done. Amen. So there are those that are graced. It says, he who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. Liberality, be liberal in your giving. Be generous in your giving. Amen. Underwrite some mission projects. There's a lot of things that we can do. If you give aid, that's the helps ministry. If you give an aid, some people think that the helps ministry is a second-rate ministry, but the helps ministry is just as important as the ministry gifts that you see on stage. In fact, I believe the Holy Spirit is called the helper. Huh? He's the helper, right. And so we all need the help ministry. Everybody has grace. Hurry. Everybody has grace. Let me read just one more page here. Dwayne, bring your crew up here, okay? Worship team, come on up here. Everybody just sit still for just one more minute, two more minutes, five more minutes. Amen. Now listen, in the Old Testament, when they were building the tabernacle, I remember reading that they called forth for skilled workers. There was people that knew how to work in gold. They knew how to work in timber. They knew how to work in woodworking. They knew how to work in silver and bronze. And they were appointed because of the gift that was on the inside of them to help build the tabernacle. They had gifts. Listen, if you're an electrician, we might need your help around here sometime. If you're a plumber, we might need your help around here sometime. Amen. God's grace you. Maybe you make your living at that, but you could also help your church with that. Amen? God's graced you with a gift. Let's use it not only for natural mammon, but let's use it for spiritual things as well. Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
All right. That means you agree. I'm going to close with this scripture, 1 Peter 4:10. If you don't believe me, stand to your feet. If you believe me, stand to your feet. I'm going to close with this scripture. Do we have 1 Peter 4:10? Yes, we do. And 11. Everybody look up here at this scripture. As each of you has received. Is that what it says?
Yep.
It doesn't say if you receive. Or if you're one of the lucky ones. Or you're one of the blessed ones. No, it says every one of us has received a gift. A particular spiritual talent. A gracious divine endowment. As each of you have received that, notice, employ it for one another. Y'all see that?
Amen.
We got a couple guys in this church that man, when there's if anything around my place breaks down, they are there to fix it. I don't even ask. And it just blows my mind. But they know that's where they're gifted at. Mark spent an entire 2 or 3 days at my house running one wire, just to fix my lights. Brother Dan has helped do so many things around here. God has gifted him. He loves to work on the church and doing things, and he'll just help anybody. He's been to your house. He's probably been to your house. He's probably been to other people's houses because he loves to help. If your ministry is helping, do it with joy.
Yes.
Don't say, oh no, the preacher called again. Hello? If God has gifted you, use it, employ it, as a grace gift. Notice it says, employ it for one another. Huh? Of the extremely diverse, diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. Everything I've said today can be summed up in one word. It's grace. It's by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I do what I do. It's by the grace of God, I have what I have. The house that I live in right now is a gift from God. God supernaturally, Mark and Carol looked at that house before we did, and they wanted to buy it, but thank God, God said, no, that's the Rhodes' house. and we got to buy that house at a ridiculously, ridiculously low price. That was the grace of God. We never dreamed we could live in a house like that. But the grace of God. Can you shout amen this morning? Now remember, it's all by grace. It's not you. It's not your education. It's not your how many DDDTs you got behind your name or dot, dot, dot. It's all by the grace of God to minister to each other. Good stewards. Faithful stewards. Faithful stewards. Can I read verse 11? Whoever speaks, let him do it as one who utters the oracles of God. Whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes abundantly. Those people that are going to be around here working today, I believe God's going to furnish you with the strength to do what needs to be done. I thank God. This church is one of the best churches. It is the best church I know of. There's people that's willing to roll up their sleeves, get their hands dirty, run their hands down a toilet commode to fix it. There's people in this church that'll sweep the parking lot, will power spray the building. We just got people that will change a light bulb without even telling them it needs to be changed. By the way, we do have one out right there. Whoever speaks, let him do it as one who utters the oracles of God. Whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength of God who furnishes ability, so that all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Testament. It says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though himself, as God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ, and all the glory and power will to him forever and ever. Isn't that awesome today? How many knows that we have this wonderful, precious treasure in an earthen vessel? Isn't that what the Bible says? Paul said, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Whatever God's gifted you to do, let's be willing to do it joyfully as unto the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say whatever your hand finds to do, do it joyfully? Do it as unto the Lord. You know, maybe nobody will recognize you picking up somebody's vomit in the cafeteria or in the lunchroom bag. Maybe nobody will recognize you doing it. Maybe nobody will see you clean up a mess somewhere. But you know what? God is watching. And we do it cheerfully, joyfully. Huh? Luke? Luke's had his hand down the toilet before, haven't you? Then he goes through the jar of hand cleaner, but he gets it clean. Father, thank you today for this beautiful time we've had these last 2 hours and 8 minutes. Thank you, Lord, that in your presence there's fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And Father, I want to thank you for helping us to deliver the word that you laid on our hearts for today. I believe, God, that this church is going to function in the grace of God during this entire ladies' conference. Even when others may come in with an attitude, others may come in not quite as friendly as our group is. But God, you know where every person is going to be at. And you know, God, that we'll be able to effectively minister to each person that comes through these doors. May your will be done in this conference. May every one of our international guests feel right at home. I pray, God, that Solid Rock family will show so much love to all of our visitors and guests that people say, I want to go to a church that loves like that. By this shall all men know that we are your disciples, by the love that we show one to another. Bless this congregation today, Lord. Bless them as they go to their separate places later on today, and as they go to work this week, keep your hand upon them as they travel, journey the highways to and from work. On the job, I pray that you will protect them. Keep your hand upon them, Lord, in every particular way they work, whatever it is, God, that you will just protect them and help them to be successful at what they do. Thank you that you're my shepherd, and you lead us, and you guide us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Lord, yes.